Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the California Sports Report. We're going to get right into this one. It's a 30-minute segment of fun information, and a little bit of information might be able to make you a little money here. If you get in your pools, your office pools, your party pools, or you're in Vegas or another state that allows gambling on Super Bowl 49, huge weekend coming up. We got the Super Bowl. We got a little golf tournament we're going to touch on briefly, but we're basically splitting this in half here. Super Bowl, everything you need to know about it for the first 15 with myself and Lindell French. Then we're going to be joined at the 15-minute mark by Keegan McNamara, and the three of us are going to break down all that's been going on in the NBA and college hoops since we got to talk to you last time. It is Wednesday evening, January 28th. Grab your favorite drink and sit back and relax, folks. We got you. This is the California Sports. Okay. Again, the trio is myself, Sky Dickinson, and sports writer Lindell French, basketball mind Keegan McNamara. We are a trifecta of radio greatness, or at least goodness, or we're going to entertain the hell out of you, trust me. All right, I'm coming to you from Sacramento, California. I haven't had a chance to leave and go on vacation here for a couple months. It's been busy. Got my 10-month-old daughter, couldn't be happier to have, but has kept me in the fatherly role here and kept me at home the last few months. But guys that have a little bit more freedom right now and are traveling the globe, Lindell just got back from a wedding in Mexico, and Keegan just got back from a semi-surf vacation in Hawaii. So we got everybody back in the mainland now. We'll go ahead and throw it across the country into the deep south to Mr. Lindell French. Welcome to the show. How you doing this evening, buddy?
I believe Charlotte, North Carolina is actually considered the new South, but I'm doing well, man. You know, I'm about that action, boss, and I'm excited to be back out here chopping up sports with you guys, man. It's a big week.
For sure, it's not about fines. You're here because you love this. You're not just here because.
I'm about the action, man. I liked it more when he was about the action and not about avoiding the fines. Although, I mean, just really quickly. I love that he's selling those hats, man. He might end up picking up another $50,000 fine for wearing unlicensed NFL-approved hats. But he's selling them. They just sold out on his website, and he's going to sell more. They're going to have him back tomorrow, so never fear. Marshawn Lynch is a smarter guy than a lot of people give him credit for. He knows what he's doing.
I totally agree with that. He's a Cal guy. I like him, and this is entertaining. I just don't want this to become a unilateral trend where everybody does this with the media. It would be a complete disaster for sports journalism.
I agree 100%. When anyone else does it, it comes off really badly. For whatever reason, he's just one of those characters, you know, like Manny being Manny. You know, Kaepernick played around with it 1 week during the season, and he just came off like a total dick.
I remember that.
I don't think it's the start of a trend. I just think it's beast mode being beast mode, and we sort of just got to take it with a grain of salt. I definitely don't see it becoming a problem, you know, across the league.
Yeah, well, Russell Westbrook did it about a week ago. It also came off as just hard to handle. It's completely different, and that's a great comparison. Manny being Manny, Marshawn is the ultimate Manny Ramirez of the NFL. Okay. We're already 5 minutes into a 30-minute show, so we got to kick it into gear. Everybody's talked about this all week, okay? We're late to the party on this one, this Deflategate. My view on it is this. I'll try to keep it real short. You know, there's just a fine line between caring enough to do every possible thing you can do within your power to increase your chance for victory. And then, you know, there's that – it's very easy. It's a slippery slope. It's very easy to cross lines of legality in the process. So – my take is I've always admired Tom Brady. I mean, the guy has a house like the size of a football field, a model wife. I mean, everything you're supposed to want out of an American life, yet he still goes out there and lives and dies and bleeds every single weekend, you know, trying to beat the Browns, trying to beat all these things that, you know, I got to hand it to him, that he's kept the passion, and that's what's good. That's what's right about this game. The flip side is obviously the Patriots are bending every possible rule they can over the last decade plus. And that's not a good thing for the game. So I kind of see it as a paradox. I, I like Tom Brady a lot more than the guy who, you know, throws an interception to end the game, and his team loses, and 30 seconds later he's high-fiving the other opposing quarterback and laughing and stuff. You know, I want someone who burns when they lose. I just don't want somebody who, you know, can be categorized as a cheater. So I don't know if I could have it both ways, especially at the top level of professional sports where so much money, fame, endorsements, and all that is to be had. So I think it's kind of a paradox, and it's put a blight on this year's Super Bowl, but it's just made it a little bizarre. There's this cloud, and then, you know, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks are going on and on and making their stances about it. I mean, come on, Pete. You ran out of Los Angeles because of a multitude of infractions. The NCAA was about to come down on you like a guillotine. So both of these guys have blood on their hands. They, in a way, that's what makes them excellent coaches. So it's just an ultimate yin and yang paradox type of thing. That's my take on it. Lindell, what's yours in 60 seconds?
Yeah, I think it's comical, really. You know, I think you file this under rubbing is racing. And, you know, you sort of just have to think, you know, this all started because, you know, a few years ago there was the Romo rule in Stills because the balls were all new they were playing with. And I think they'll probably revisit he'll revisit ball handling in the off season once again. But it's a comical, man. Bill Nye is voicing his opinion on it, and I think that they're now the investigator, the deflated ball investigator, is now bringing in a Columbia physicist to talk about it. You know, who cares? This was a game they won 45-7. They did not win this game because of deflated or inflated balls. And I mean, the NFL probably loves it. You know, it's not they're not talking about anyone, you know, getting caught soliciting a hooker or going on a drug binge or anything like that. You know, they're talking about deflated balls.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting because you get to now look back into Tom Brady's past. You know, statistically speaking, one of the greatest cold weather quarterbacks of all time. There's no debating that. Was he benefiting from a ball that was easier to throw all these years? I've seen a couple of videos. You don't think so?
I don't think this is going to affect his legacy as a football player. I mean, it's again, I think this really was only freed up once the Romo rule went into effect, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And they haven't won a Super Bowl since then. So, you know, it's mountains and molehills.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the safest way to take it going moving forward, so as we don't have some, you know, massive corruption in the game. But it's just interesting to read between the lines. You know, there's I did some research on this. There's six ball boys on every game, right? Three on each sidelines. Four of them are provided by the home team. Two of them are provided by the road team. So there's no possible mathematical scenario where there won't be a home team ball boy on one of the sidelines. So you're not going to be able to pull any of that stuff as a road team, okay? Now you look at the losses, mm-hmm. the worst performances and the losses that Tom Brady had this year at Kansas City on a very, very cold and rainy Monday night. I believe one was in Green Bay on a very cold game, and then they won by 1 point on a very cold game at MetLife Stadium in New York against the Jets. So you look at the times that he didn't have, you know, he didn't kind of have hometown cooking and throwing a cold, fully inflated ball, and I'll be damned, he didn't do that well. So that, you know, he's real lucky that this game isn't in New York like last year, you know, and all eyes would be on him. It's a warm climate, so they won't be analyzing every single play in how it pertains to the inflation of the ball, which is a good thing. Okay, 9 minutes in, I got to fly on my next prediction. It's the Super Bowl outcome, okay? The outcome of Super Bowl 49 in Glendale, Arizona, at the University of Phoenix Stadium. I think at halftime, I see a bizarre, slow-moving first half. I got Seattle up 9-3 at the half, and then I got the Patriots going off in the second half for 28 points, 4 touchdowns, and I got the Patriots ultimately winning 31-22. I'm going on record on the California Sports Report. That's my official Super Bowl pick, Patriots in the over. What do you got?
All right, but you like the first half under. What you can parlay the first half under with the full game over for. I love it. I thought you were gonna go Seahawks, and I thought we were gonna be. I like the Seahawks again, man. I like Russell Wilson. I just think that they are the best team in the NFL, and I think it'll play itself out that way. I expect it to be a very good game. I got Seahawks 28-27.
Ooh.
1-point ball game.
Sounds like Sounds like one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. Yeah. Oh, it's, I can't wait for this matchup. I mean, I dream about, I'll be completely honest with you, and there's not ashamed of this at all. I'm actually proud of myself. I dream about games, big games at night for like the 3 or 4 nights leading up to a big college game, a big bowl game. I'll dream, and it'll be like different scenarios of the game happening. And believe me, I woke up on a Saturday morning after dreaming about a college football game and happened to be in South Lake Tahoe, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this, you know, this is a vision, and I bet on my dream, and the dreams are not always right, but I've already began to dream about this one, and not only in the outcome is now one of about, 15,000 things you can bet on, bro. We've been laughing about this for years. It all started about 10, 12 years ago. The first time they went outside of the game on a bet was you could bet on the coin toss, heads or tails. And then the next thing they did was you could bet on the length of the national anthem, which, well, I mean, you know, if you had inside knowledge, if you were friends with somebody who was singing that, oh, my gosh, what a insider trading advantage that would be. And then in the years since, they've branched out to all sorts of props. So I know you had a chance to look this over, Lindell. How many did you come up with total, just so I know?
I've got a bunch here that are, I mean, I don't need to go to all of them.
All right, well, give me 2 or 3. I'll give you a couple, and then you give me a few more.
There was one that I could not find myself, but I read about. It was plus 350 if Katy Perry does not show cleavage. Now, I'm not sure. I have not verified that this is real, but Katy Perry knows. Katy Perry knows what's up with football. I don't know if you saw her on the on game day. I believe it was in Ole Miss this year. She knows. She was spectacular on her picks. She knows what's going on, and I would not be at all surprised because the vast favorite is that she will be showing cleavage. If you can find
No cleavage. You're going no cleavage. Sorry.
I like her to do no cleavage because it's a huge upswing. I also love, for another just nonsense, how many times will Giselle be shown on TV? The over-under is 1.5.
Definitely.
You got to take the over. The over seems like a lock.
Okay.
And there's another one.
Has whatever outfit you're dealing with clearly constituted what is and isn't cleavage? I mean, is it that if you could see the line between the breasts? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Here's the thing. This is when I read it on a TMZ that this was a bet, but I have not found it on any of the actual sites, so I don't know if it's a real deal. But I would imagine, you know, she could just wear one of those, like a sort of a cashmere top that's sort of a little, maybe a little, you know, something just to, because she knows what's up, man, and she wants to swing the betting line or whatever. I could see it. Who will the Super Bowl MVP thank first? You get 2-1 on God, which I think is a collection of maybe 50% to more than that who God will be the first person they thank. And I like 2-1, and then maybe take a flyer on 15-2 on Fan City. I could definitely see a Seattle player thanking the Seattle and the 12th man first.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm looking at that. I just drew that up myself here. Hey, well, if it's Russell Wilson, then God is a lock. I mean, there's no question about that. I'm not sure how many other players that would be a lock for, you know, who are feasible candidates to win this. What about does not think any? Okay, suppose Richard Sherman wins this, Marshawn Lynch wins this. I'd go with both of those guys. I'd go with does not thank anyone. And that's 2.5.
Well, thanks themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's an option.
No, it's not.
I'd like to thank myself.
Yeah, that could throw a wrench in the whole thing. Here's a couple for you. I've been on this one for about a week. The hoodie to wear cut-off sleeves or full sleeves. You know, the cut-off sleeves is an overwhelming favorite because it's going to be like 81 degrees at kickoff. But I heard it's going to rain Friday and Saturday. I think the hoodie might come down with a little more button-down look, you know, not trying to draw attention to himself at all. I like sleeves, and sleeves are the underdog at plus 165. That's my main prop bet. Okay, here's one, Lindell. I was pretty stoked that I mined this little nugget of knowledge. All these enhanced and manipulated formations that the Patriots have been lining up with throughout the postseason, they're declaring an offensive lineman on the edge eligible, and they're declaring one of their receivers lining up as a receiver ineligible. Pretty shady manipulation of the rules, you know, whatever. These are the Patriots. That's why they're here. I like an offensive lineman to score either a rushing TD or a set or receiving TD at 12-1. An offensive lineman to score a TD at 12-1. That's looking great. A successful fake field goal is 20-1. And by successful, they just have to get a first down. They don't have to score a touchdown.
Right.
Now, obviously, Seattle had a huge one in the NFC Championship. Will somebody try to cook that up this game?
That would have gotten you both of them. That would have gotten you the field goal and the touchdown. Right. One fell swoop right there. You could have made a pretty little penny on that one.
No doubt. It hitting a 12-1 and a 20-1 at the same time, oh my, that's a dream. Roughing the passer, will there be roughing the passer penalty? Yes, it's plus 160. You know, I mean, come on. You can't breathe on Brady. I mean, I know it's a Super Bowl in the postseason. They call it a little differently, but I think there's going to be some roughing the passer at some point. And then this is a cool one, a little cross-sport prop bet. Marshawn Lynch rushing yards greater than Sergio Garcia's final round score at the Phoenix Waste Management Open. You like them?
Absolutely. You can parlay your Super Bowl winner with who you think is going to win the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight too, or Mayweather fight. I'll say, there's just a ton of these things, and I sort of go with ones that sort of jibe with your idea of what the game's going to be. You know, if you think go for a defensive MVP long shot. If you think Seattle's defense is gonna just shut them down, and you think, you know what. You can get plus 300 on Tom Brady throwing two or more picks, or plus 700 on him throwing three. And then, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you think that's how the game's going to shape up, drop something on Richard Sherman to get the MVP, or Earl Thomas. You know, defensive players do get the MVP every few years. There was one last year. But have fun with it. I'm about that action, boss, but this is the game for it. You know, there are 15,000 prop bets. Have fun with it. Sort of scattershot it. I like doing some playing some favorites to cover your bets, and then doing some long shots just to have a good time with it. So that every play you're waiting for something to happen. This is the best gambling day in sports, other than the possible exception of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. It's spectacular.
There you go, my man. That's Lindell French, folks. He joins me every time we do the show. I'm Sky Dickinson. I'm the host of this outfit. This is the California Sports Report. We're about halfway through. We're tying a ribbon on our Super Bowl package, and perhaps you're in the market for last-minute tickets. They're available online. They're no longer a sponsor of the show, but they're just good people, and I've had a business relationship with them for a long time. So I'm going to send you over to ticketprocess.com if you're at all interested in getting in on the Super Bowl. A bucket list thing for true football fans. And it's coming to San Francisco, or Santa Clara, obviously. Coming to Santa Clara next year. So for us out here in the Northern California area, the greatest opportunity to attend a Super Bowl in decades. Okay, let's turn the page. I mentioned Keegan McNamara at the top of the show. If you've listened to shows over the last year or so, you're familiar with this guy. And he's down in San Diego. He provides basketball expert knowledge. He's also a very skilled surfer who has some stones. This guy has some cojones. He was out on some major waves in was it in Maui? You could answer that and give us a brief little description. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, thanks. It's always good to be here, guys. Always good to talk hoops. We don't get to talk surfing too often, but yeah, we were out in Maui on a family vacation, and turns out the biggest swell of the winter hit. I did pack a couple boards because I do like to surf. I think you're maybe overhyping my skills and ability a little bit. But, yeah, I had a day out there, went out and looked at – I didn't surf Jaws, but Jaws was breaking. That's a real famous deep water big wave break that Laird Hamilton, a bunch of other guys kind of made famous. I saw it, and it was breaking and surfed for about 2 hours at a spot near that on a day. It wasn't the peak of the swell. It had come down a little bit, but I told you guys before the show started, I was legitimately scared out there and just happy to get my one wave and take that one in and escaped without any bodily harm or worse. So it was a fun experience for sure.
Good stuff, man. Yeah, this guy's been out on the waves for years. He also has a daughter, getting her started. Maybe someday you'll hear about her on the on the pro surfing circuit. Let's talk hoops, man, as we always do when we have you here. The first thing I threw at these guys is have the Atlanta Hawks officially supplanted the Cleveland Cavaliers as the favorite in the East? I mean, to get the casino, you got to pry Cleveland out of the casino's cold, dead hands. I mean, they are still on board as this team being the clear-cut favorite to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. Now, you take a look at the NBA standings. Obviously, Cleveland is occupying the fifth slot. If they don't get out of – and Atlanta is followed by Toronto, Washington, and Chicago in the top four. None of those are pushovers. There's no slouches there. So if Cleveland doesn't get out of the top – I mean, I'm sorry, if they don't get into the top four, you're looking at a postseason where they're on the road the whole time. I mean, this is crazy. Can they still be the favorites? And in your mind, is Atlanta the new favorite? Keegan, what do you got?
Well, I never thought that Cleveland was the favorite in my book. In our preseason talk, it was, just like when LeBron went to Miami, it takes these teams, even these superstar teams, usually, at least a year to gel, to get to know one another, get to play with one another. So in what Vegas thinks and what the odds makers think and people who follow hoops, because they're just trying to, make their money. And so the general public, of course, is looking at LeBron. And LeBron carried in his previous stint in Cleveland, carried some much worse teams to the finals. So, I get it. And after taking a couple weeks off to rest and recover, he's come back the last 6-7 games and looked like his old self. So come playoff time, I don't think it really matters where those guys are seated. They've got the talent with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and what's the guy they just added from the Knicks? I'm drawing a blank.
Sure.
But you can't count those guys out. But Atlanta has, they're the hottest team in the East by far. They've won 17 games in a row right now. They've got – here's a stat for you. Kyle Korver is having statistically the best shooting season of all time. He might be the first guy to go 50-50-90, 50% from the field, 50% from three, and 90% from free throw. That's never been done before. He's well above those marks, 52, 53, and 92 right now. So they're just a well-balanced team. But the thing, I just don't see that they have the playoff chops. I wouldn't call them my favorite. I would say, Chicago, they've played really inconsistent, but kind of like Cleveland, if they turn things on in the playoffs, I think it's still Chicago-Cleveland as the favorite. I don't know who I'd pick. If put a gun to my head, maybe I'd pick Chicago right now or Atlanta. I think it's a coin toss, but, we'll see.
You value history, you value the trends long-term. You've documented you're in the financial business. You kind of view things a little differently than the typical impulsive sports fan, which I might fall into. But I'm looking at Atlanta with a seven-game lead on the field, a 21-3 home record. I mean, if they can secure home field advantage and never lose at home, I like them as a new favorite. Lindell, they're plus 200 in the casinos to win the East. Cleveland is plus 180 at this point, which makes them the favorite. Chicago plus 300, and you got your Torontos, your Washingtons. How do you see this all breaking down?
Yeah, I believe it's a sort of a three. I got right now at this very moment, and it's Iman Shumpert is your boy from the Knicks who just joined the Cavs.
And J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith. I was thinking of Smith, but yeah, blockbuster trade. So yeah, they got a couple.
I think it's a three. I think there's three co-favorites right now. I think those three teams. I mean the Bulls. I watched that whole game last night where they beat the snap the Warriors 20 game home win streak, and they did it without Butler, who's been an MVP candidate the way he's played this season, and I really do think they could put it together. Cleveland could put it together, and by far the best team so far has been Atlanta. The only reason to really not doubt them is their lack of superstars and their lack of experience in the playoffs. But I put those three teams all at sort of an even plane right now. So, I mean, maybe taking over the favorite, but right there, absolutely.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, Millsap tonight in a post-game interview says he thinks all five starters should be all-stars. That team is playing with some cohesion, a Spurs-like team almost, you know. They got to win it before you can put them in that same category, obviously. But Jalen Rose made a very interesting point tonight post-game after the Hawks won their 17th straight at home against Brooklyn. Jalen Rose says, you know, the basketball has an energy. The basketball has a personality. And the basketball knows when it's being moved around and, like, played with well and effectively, and you're going to get more bounces. Yeah, you know, it's just the it has an energy. There's a karma there.
Ball,
so,
don't,
okay.
Ball don't lie. Ball don't lie.
Exactly. That's the simple way of putting it. I'm going to bump up the other NBA one to right now, and then we're going to save this most impressive college basketball player of the year besides Okafor, possibly, to this point in time. Okay, this Rising Stars game, All-Star Weekend, has already been determined and structured and announced. And they've had it for years. They do the freshman versus the sophomore, essentially the first-year players versus second-year players. It's kind of a weird structure. I mean, if the first-year players beat the second-year players, I don't know. It's just not as exciting as it could be. And this year they seem to have made the correct steps to make it as exciting as it can be. And that is the U.S., players who were born on U.S. soil versus what's called the world team, players who were born outside of the U.S., and not outside of North America, mind you, outside of the U.S., which is why Canadian-born Andrew Wiggins will play for the world team, which I believe is absolutely stacked, and I can only pronounce about half their names.
And Kelly Olynyk also is a Canuck, I believe.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. Yeah, Steven Adams from the Thunder. We got Dante Exum. You know, a collection of guys. And then the U.S. team. I mean, it's no slouch, but I believe they'll be a heavy underdog. Trey Burke, Michael Carter-Williams, Shabazz Muhammad, Nerlens Noel, Victor Oladipo, so on and so forth. Mason Plumlee. Let me throw this right back to you, Keegan. How do you see? Are you on board that this makes it more exciting and interesting? How do you see it turning out? And the third question is should this be something that is looked at for the actual All-Star game? U.S. versus the world. What do you think?
Great questions. I don't know if I can remember all three, man. I only go like one or two at a time. Well, first off, to be honest, I don't really care that much. I hate to say it. But the Rising Stars, whether it's international or first year versus second year, it's kind of played just like the regular All-Star game. It's just, you know, it's just a dunk fest. No one plays defense. It's fun to watch, or it can be, but it can also be boring. I think it's an interesting twist, and if it gets, you know, maybe the guys fired up so it's a more competitive game, yeah, it could be interesting. I wouldn't even hazard to guess who would win, but I will say I'm more looking forward to the three-point contest. Hate to throw a curveball at you, but this might be the most exciting lineup in a, you know, since Larry Bird was back there, you know, doing it. We've got, of course, the Splash Brothers from Golden State. We've got Kyle Korver, who I already mentioned, is an all-time great shooter this year. Wesley Matthews, J.J. Redick, Marco Bellinelli won it last year. I mean, this is a stacked three-point contest. I think I'm looking forward to this more than the dunk contest, more than the regular NBA All-Star game, more than anything.
Maybe somebody was going to put that on the list of topics next week. God damn it.
Jump the gun,
hey. Yeah, no, that is a great lineup. And
they
should
have brought
Adam
Morrison's bloated corpse back to be the last guy in the three-point contest, just to tie it up with Redick out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, going against all those other names, I think we would see some tears from him once again. All right, Lindell, this game, buddy, has U.S. versus the world made it more interesting? And do you think we should do it? All-Star game.
I'm all for it. You know, they've gone to that with hockey, I believe. They do it within the AAA All-Star game in baseball, and. You know, who even knew that they, you know, knew anything about the AAA baseball All-Star game until they started doing this, which, you know, now you sort of hear about it. And I think it will drive them to compete a little harder, and it'll be a more competitive game. And I think it's fantastic. And I think eventually they should very, very seriously consider it for the regular All-Star game. I think it'll make it a lot more interesting. Because, you know, all the All-Star games are semi played out to varying degrees. Basketball,
well,
you know,
baseball,
I think
baseball is the one that preserves
few.
And has meaning. But, yeah, I'm totally with you on the rest of them. All right, we got only 3 minutes left here. We have made it to our final topic, which is which college basketball player has impressed you the most this year so far? I'll be quick. I'll go Miles Taylor, freshman, Texas, 12 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, 3 blocks per game, average making 1 3-pointer per game. He's a man who patterns his game after Kevin Durant. Not quite as silky smooth just yet. Not quite as in touch with his coordination at 6'11", but I mean, we're talking about, you know, Durant is a world-class standard. Miles Turner is close enough to remind me of a world-class standard, you know, a guy who was also one and done at Texas. Miles Turner is going to be one and done at Texas. He's 6'11". He you know, got all the tools. Like I say, he's patterning his game after Kevin Durant, and he's damn close enough to get my respect. The NBA mock draft has him going fourth overall to the Los Angeles Lakers, which would change everything, including Kobe's outlook on the future. Lindell, real quick, and then we'll let Keeks finish this one off.
Now, I will admit, I don't start my regular NCAA hoops watching until after this Sunday, but I have been watching a lot of the Pac-12 and mainly the Oregon Ducks. And a freshman, Jordan Bell, beat the single-season block record for the Ducks, and they've had a couple NBA centers in their time. Blair Rasmussen, Tony Woods had a couple cup of coffees. He broke the record with 59 in the third game of the Pac-12 season, not even halfway through the year. He'd already tied Blair Rasmussen for the single-game record and broken the record for single-season blocks. So he's on pace to more than double it. he's got more blocks than 5 teams in the Pac-12. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That's an exciting player that I've gotten to see a lot. And I'll open it up to the rest of the NCAA starting after football's over.
Unreal numbers. I mean, Sean Bradley, that is crazy. Everybody keep an eye on him. The NBA mock draft for 2015 just shows you where the game is these days. The top 10 projected picks, 8 of them are college freshmen, and 2 of them are from another country. Crazy. Keegs, who do we need to know about, man? You don't know, no one knows.
Oh, man, how much time I got? I got a lot of guys to talk about.
2 minutes. You got 2 minutes.
All right, man. Well, first of all, Okafor and Kaminsky, I mean, those are the two top players in college hoops right now, no doubt. Okafor is going to be the number 1 overall pick. He's a freshman out of Duke. They're number 4 in the country. He's just dominating. Kaminsky, of course, over at Wisconsin, is having a great year. But I want to talk about some other guys. The Wooden Award puts out a mid-season list of top 25 candidates to win the award at the end of the year. And I've had the luck to see a couple of these guys in person. DeLon Wright over at Utah, who's right now, you know, he's looking like an All-American and probably Pac-12 Player of the Year, at least the leading candidate. But I saw him play San Diego State, and, man, I'll tell you, those guys shut him down. He was, as far as I was concerned, anonymous on the court. I couldn't even pick him out, you know, from a crowd.
Wow.
So I was not impressed. I saw Gonzaga play at USD, our other Division I basketball program here in San Diego. They got a couple guys on the list, and they were good. Kevin Pangos is a top point guard, and Kyle Wiltshire is kind of a wing, a 6'10 wing. He can shoot it. He can go inside from out, you know, inside outside type player. But I think my favorite player right now is Stanley Johnson over at Arizona. He's a freshman, and he's just a beast. He reminds me of a young meta world peace, Artest.
Wow.
He's 6'7". He's like 240, 250 pounds, just strong as a man. Plays great, great defense. Decent shooter, takes it to the hole. He's projected number 5 pick right now. I mean, who knows how that'll play out. But those are – that's my 2-minute assessment, man.
Love it, and you came in just on time. We got 20 seconds left here on this version of the California Sports Report. So let me just thank Keegan McNamara, who you just heard from, and Lindell French, who you heard from throughout this 30-minute program created by me and hosted by me, Sky Dickinson, folks. We always have a good time. We are back on the train. Going to be turning this back into an hour-long episode soon. Looking for our next sponsor. This has been the California Sports Report on behalf of my co-host and myself. Thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you in one short week. Good night.